This is the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Podcast with the Scottish Sun for 7 days of football. Bill Leckie every Monday, the goalie Andy Gorham on Fridays, John Hartson every Saturday, and heart-hitting reaction from Davy Provan and Richard Goff on Sundays. Plus, there's Super Goals, Scotland's best football pullout every Sunday, Monday and Wednesday. Only in the Scottish Sun, official supporter of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's time for your call, your opinion, your say on Scottish football. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Hugh Keevins and Jim Delahunt.
And Kenny Shields is with us in the studio tonight, taking your calls all the way through till 8 o'clock. A bad night in Barcelona for Celtic last night. And we begin the build-up to all the domestic action this weekend.
Number one for football across Glasgow and the West, powered by the Scottish Sun. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Call 0141 951 1025.
Eventually, hopefully, we'll be able to release the purse strings a little bit more. But I've got a group of players I want to work with. I want to make them better. I want them to learn from the experience that they've gone through this year.
Neil Lennon speaking after last night's Celtic defeat in Barcelona. Defeat, some people have called it a rout. 6-1, Barcelona won. At one stage, it looked as if it could have been double figures. It ended 6-1. Celtic even getting a consolation goal near the end from Giorgio Samaras. But much reflection, I would imagine, Hugh Keevins, on the plane home from Spain in the early hours of this morning.
Manager picked the wrong team to begin with. And what does it say about Scottish football that in the same season we have watched Celtic lose six, equaling their worst record defeat in Europe, and also Hibs, the worst ever Scottish result in Europe, losing 7-0 at home to Malmo. So doesn't say much for Celtic in particular last night, and doesn't say much for the game in general, given those two results put together. For me, Jim, the question is this. Do Celtic want to spend on quality, improving the quality of the team they have, or do they want to run the risk of not qualifying for the Champions League next season because the players they have at the moment aren't a certainty, not by a long way?
How do you get players who can compete at that level though, Kenny Shields, when someone like Neymar costs in excess of 40 million?
Yeah, you have to command the quality that they were up against. You look at the quality that's on that side. I'm really glad to hear Neil say that he's going to work to make the current players better. That's music to my ears, because that's the challenge that he has in front of him. And if he continues to work to make them better, then it will improve the standard of play. It's not an easy fixture to go to. I don't agree with Q and the fact that the Scottish game, you know, people are saying today where the Scottish game is at a poor state and this compounds that. I would ask then, what's the best league in Europe, would you say? And people will say the Spanish, the German, whatever, in quality. And then they'll say entertainment, they'll go to the English Premiership. Manchester United are struggling in the Premier League, and the second best team in Germany at the moment, they've travelled and they've kicked their backside. And these things happen in football. And it's very difficult for a team. I think the worst two results Celtic could have had going into the Barcelona game is the ones that they had, you know, a 5-0 and a 7-0. And they go in there and it's a complete opposite. It's a contrasting situation. And I think that we can't overlook that.
Would those players qualify for the Champions League next season, Kenny? Those Celtic
players? The same
players?
I think the mistake that Celtic made, I don't know whose fault it is. I think they should have prepared from last January for this season's Champions League, because it's a foregone conclusion they're going to win
the league.
They're going to win the domestic trophy. One, if you look at it, how many trophies will Celtic win next season domestically? Most people would say two, potentially three, but unlikely to be one. So that there's a given. They're going to win the Scottish Premier League. So it's two hats that the management at Celtic have to wear. They have to prepare for, A, their domestic, which they're well prepared for, but financially for the European campaign, they're going to need players that are too good for the domestic league, let's be honest, if they're going to do well in the Champions League.
Give us a call, give us your thoughts. 01419511025. Willie's first on. Hi, Willie.
Hello, Jim.
Hello there, Willie.
Willie.
Hi there.
I watched the game last night.
Yes.
Of two points I would like to have. The first one is Frank McGarvey's reigning in a deal record yesterday, and he's going to Rio Clay's day saying that Celtic's going to spend money.
Yeah.
I wonder if Frank McGarvey pays to get into a game, because all the ex players that I see at the games, they're all on TVs, and they're talking about spending money. I think Celtic are doing the right thing. We are not going to win the European Cup. There's a matter of many players that buy. We'll qualify. I'm quite sure we'll qualify. You know, on the basis of last night, Kenny's there to talk a lot of sense. A lot of sense. Neymar, £45 million. Celtic just can't pay that. Or after the day, they'll get into the same size as our friends across the wire, got any. And everybody's not named, but they went away. They thought they were going to be successful.
Yeah, but Neymar, Willie, Neymar's a smokescreen. Nobody's suggesting for one second that Celtic spend £45 million on a player. The question is, how badly do Celtic need the Champions League? The supporters need it because they're bored by the Premiership in their own country. The club needs it because it makes them tens of millions of pounds.
You're dead right, Hugh.
Therefore, they have to get a better quality player than they have at present. Pukki will never do anything for Celtic in the Champions League. Amido Baldi clearly has been found wanting and will never do anything for Celtic in the Champions League.
Agreed.
Dirk Berechta flatters to deceive. Celtic need better players. And if the Champions League is worth that much money to them, then they'll have to spend money to ensure that they get there.
Aye, but Hugh, the Celtic won 7-0 against Hearts. They won 5-0 against Motherwell. They don't need to improve to win the league. Right, on the
side, they're
going to put their salary today to proceed. Okay, qualifying for the league is going to get the money. But by the way, it costs us a lot of money to watch Celtic in the European Cup.
It's not necessarily the case that they need to go into debt. That would certainly not be the case, and I would not advocate Celtic or any other Scottish club going into debt. I'm talking about speculating to accumulate, and the players at the moment are not good enough for that level of the game. I fully understand that Barcelona 9 times out of 10 would beat Celtic, and then there would be the night that Celtic had last season at Celtic Park as the exception to the rule. But qualification for the tournament, Shakhtar Karagandy almost pipped Celtic at the post in the qualifying rounds this season. If Celtic are to be absolutely certain of qualification, they're going to need better players than the ones they currently have in time for next season.
But they're in a vicious circle, Hugh, on the basis that the players that go to the new are definitely going to win the league, and almost certain they're going to win the cup. Getting beat by Morton was a disaster. On that side, that should never have happened. But they're going to get the double with the players they've got. What you're saying about Berechta, or what you call him, away to space, definitely away to space.
Willie, can I ask you something? It's Kenny here. Are you a season ticket holder at Celtic?
I've watched Celtic for, I'll be 80 at the end of the year. I've watched Celtic for 1946. I sat behind the directors. I pay good money to watch here.
Brilliant,
And I never miss a game.
Well, can I ask you, at the start of this season, what do you look forward to the most for your SPL domestic games, or had you great anticipation about Europe, or what was your thing that you look forward to the most?
In general, everything. Everything. I want to win the league, right? I want to win the treble.
But also, which games did you look forward to the most?
Rangers game, who can I get to do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? But saying that takes, I'll tell you very much, Kenny, the situation being that the players with Celtic are quite good players.
Mm.
Right? They're saying some good players and did well in selling and making good profit. But they've got, Hugh mentioned it, three players there that knew that as well got Albion Rovers, and I know the crying name on that basis, and it's Berechta, Baldy and Pukki. That's three. The young boys, I haven't seen much of them this thing because that you don't know where they're playing now, but I watched them up the years. And funny thing about it, I kept plugging them boys, and a lot of the boys have said, let go. I've made it at clubs that no been a big loss to Celtic, you know. So the youth system is working to a point.
But what Celtic need now, Willie, Celtic need the ready-made, enough works in progress, enough potential. If Celtic are talking about Champions League, and we're all in agreement here, no one disputes the fact that Celtic will win the league until Rangers get themselves back into position where they can challenge Celtic. But Champions League is important.
I don't want to see Celtic go in any debt, Hugh. And a lot of Celtic supporters are in the same boat.
I know they won't. I mean, Peter Lawwell simply won't take them into debt. But they're always telling us how much money they've made from the Champions League. They need to spend some of it.
Right, OK. So, on that basis, I go to my second question. My second question is about the carry-on and Friday night.
And Motherwell.
The Green Brigade, they do some things that's unforgettable. And they do some things unforgivable. Simple as that. And I'm going to go back to... I was doing the programme about 3 years ago. My son was struck with a seat at Celtic Rangers game at Parkhead. And nobody, bar one policeman, did anything really about it. The situation was that a seat was flung. A guy came on the next night and said to me that I was talking through my head, that it was a Celtic supporter that flung it. It was a Rangers supporter who gave his seat up. And this was bringing my point. He gave his seat up to somebody and was afraid to say who it was. My son landed in hospital. Nothing, went to a lawyer, none, lawyers only touch it. So he lost work and all the rest of it in the hospital for a couple of days. He's still back at the game. He was with my grandsons, his two sons and my daughter's son, and they were terrified. Now, at Ibrox a few years ago, a guy really was standing, and I said to him, "You're going to sit down, Paul." And he was a nice enough guy, and he said, "I'll change seats with you." I said, "Okay." So he went into my seat, behind me, right behind me, and he was standing on the seat. And I said to him, you're going to hurt yourself, but I'm all right. Celtic scored, and he jumped up, and he broke the seat.
Well, the bottom line is that Celtic have to pay Motherwell £10,000 for structural damage caused to their ground. That is ludicrous.
Right.
A match that Celtic won 5-0 and played very well. That you've said you've been going to Celtic since 1946. Therefore, you have known better times in terms of behaviour. What happened at Motherwell had to be unacceptable to Celtic. It badly tarnished their image and the club's good name. And so they have taken the right step by dispersing those who have started to become a problem.
That's right. That's right. But as I said, now I went to Assured that day. And I said to him, I changed seats with a guy, and he's broke the seat. And the guy, by the way, he was apologising, and he said to me, "See, tell that steward I'll pay for that damage." And I said to that steward, "The guy's got to pay for it." And the boy says, "Away him and give me peace." Now, at the Rangers game where my son got hurt, there are policemen lined up skin for skin between the Celtic and Rangers supporters, and there's stewards every place, and nobody seen that guy throwing that seat. So maybe curb that in that situation, and maybe I solved that problem on Friday night.
Okay, Willie. Well, obviously there have been arrests made either today or last night, but thank you very much indeed for your call. 01419511025. Gone 6:15. We'll speak to Peter next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with the Scottish Sun. For Andy Gorham's Inside Track at Ibrox, read the goalie sensational column every Friday.
Plenty of time for you to call us between now and 8 o'clock. Hugh Cavins and Kenny Shields are here with me, Jim Delahunt. As promised, Peter is next on the line. Hi, Peter.
Good evening.
Evening, Peter.
The last caller, by the way, said he's been supporting Celtic since 1946. I've been supporting them since 1937. I'm an old man. But that's just by the way.
Good on you.
Right. My first reaction last night when I heard the team being announced was that Neil Lennon must have had too much to drink. I was saying to myself, his brain's befuddled. You think we're playing Rangers tonight, not Barcelona. But to leave three of his established players on the bench is just unbelievable. And he goes on to say, by the way, that Barcelona were fantastic. Now, I can identify most of the Barcelona players now. There were five there whom I'd never seen or heard of. Now, I think that's an indication of what Barcelona thought about Celtic. They could put out a weakened team and get the job done. But the fact that Neil Lennon, I think he insulted those three players that he left on the bench, because I think they would be reluctant to come on and try and do a salvage job for him.
Well, the three he did leave on the bench, the three you're talking about, I presume, Charlie McGrew, Chris Commons and Anthony Stokes, yeah?
Yeah, three established players.
Yeah, and they all come on as substitutes at various times in the game.
Eventually. The damage was well done.
Well done, yes.
I think, Peter, you're right insofar as the timings were peculiar. We understand why Mulgrew is brought on at 3-0. That's damage limitation.
Yeah. Oh, it's hopeless.
But I don't understand why you wait until it's 5-0 before you bring on Chris Commons, and then mysteriously 6-0 before you bring on Anthony Stokes.
Yeah, but he had the colossal nerve to blame the players. He's the one to blame.
I think he's the one to blame.
That team selection last night was an absolute joke.
I said at the very outset, Peter, he picked the wrong team, and he is quick.
Yeah.
To lambast his players. He's not so quick, in my estimation, to look at himself.
He should have a good look at himself.
He has to take his share of the blame, because it is the joint worst European result in Celtic's history, and it's happened on his watch.
Yeah.
But let me say, there is absolutely no doubt that Neil Lennon was absolutely 100% stone cold sober when he picked the team. And that's not a problem there.
There's no excuse. You can't use that as an excuse.
Let's go back to team selection and ask what Kenny thought when he saw the team.
I feel that no matter what you do as a manager, your preparation has to be, and you have to be honest with yourself, and that's, I'm 100% sure that's what Neil was, and he picked a team that he felt would do a job. And you have to give him credit in the past, but Q's right to a certain extent where he's made a mistake in some of his selections, but that comes with the job. We all make mistakes in our selections.
And that was a huge mistake.
Well, in hindsight it is, but wisdom in hindsight is I've got a degree on it myself, so it's...
Well, I had made up my mind before the game started.
Yeah, well, I think also the way the game started, to lose a goal after 7 minutes and to lose one as poorly as they did, started to eat into the subconscious. By the time it was 3-0 half time, I thought Celtic had collapsed.
I thought they'd gone at 2-0.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. When it got to 6, Jim, like you, I thought
it could be 10.
I think a lot of people
everyone did. And had Fraser Forster not saved one with his feet, and had the two Barcelona players not collided into each other Keystone Cops fashion, you'd be talking about 7s and 8s, and that really would be catastrophic for Celtic.
Point about the Green Brigade. Celtic were established 126 years ago. We've managed it for about 120 years without the Green Brigade. I don't know how we've managed it, you know.
Well, yeah.
The Green Brigade will not be missed.
No,
and Neil Lennon made them feel special, and I think his judgment gives rise to very serious questions of his judgment. That's all I'd like to say.
Okay, Peter. Going back to team selection, because I know a lot of people are wanting on to speak about this. Adam Matthews, would you have brought him back for such an important game, Kenny, given his lack of game time?
I think on the domestic scene, Izaguirre is an attacking fullback, what we would describe him as. But that's not necessarily going to be an asset at the Nou Camp against Barcelona. Hughes informed me tonight that he was suspended.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, Charlie McGrew might have been an option. Again, it's hindsight, but, you know, Adam Matthews has proved himself in that position in the past. And, you know, we can't be too critical. We can't be, I feel. And what I would ask Peter, for example, is how would you accommodate the two teams that you have to pick, one for the Champions League and one for the domestic league? That's what I would like to ask a few of the people that are foreign.
You need a much stronger team for the Champions League, and they apparently haven't got that ability just now. They'll need to speculate. They'll need to play buy players maybe about £5 million instead of £2 million.
Well, they had the chance when Finn Borgerson was available to them from the Dutch club here in Wien, and Celtic offered money that was insufficient, and then decided to take the money, split it into three parts, and get Baldi, Pukki and Borrichter, and it hasn't worked out.
Well, if they paid £10 million for two players, they might still be in the UEFA Cup.
Well, that's the dilemma that they face, Peter. We fully understand that domestically they reign supreme.
Oh, it's too easy for them.
But the dilemma is, if you want to give yourself the best chance possible of qualification for next season's Champions League and the riches that lie therein, then you're going to have to take the gamble or hope you get lucky.
But if you sign, as Peter suggests there, Kenny, two £5 million players, then you have to pay two £5 million players' wages.
Exactly.
Which are going to be higher, for example, than the captain, Scott Brown, and probably higher than the top goal scorer as well.
I wonder when the captain's leaving.
Well,
nobody seems to want him.
Celtic wanted him enough to give him a new contract on decent money, so I'll just go
who
back
was
to
that?
Kenny.
Who was that?
Scott Brown he's talking about.
I think Scott Brown has been... he's been a dynamic driver for Celtic on the domestic front. There's no question of that. You can't take... you have to give him credit for that. And he's driven them on when it looked as if they were going to lose so many times in the past. And he's been a great servant to Celtic. And I don't think he comes into the category that he should be let go. He should be one that should be kept and to help build the team for the future. But the thing that I would like to see is, you know... if you look at Ajax when they played Celtic, they had two 19-year-old wingers, two 20-year-old centre-backs, 21-year-old full-back, 22-year-old full-back. They had young players in with a 33-year-old at the bottom of midfield. And I remember they lost to Celtic and I thought to myself, well, that's good on you, Ajax, because you're giving players that game time and next year they'll be so much better for that. And there's a lot of good young players, you know, in the Celtic youth system. And Celtic are not just developing them for Celtic, they're developing them for a career. And Chris McCart will tell you his job's not just to develop for the first team, it's to develop for the betterment of Scottish football, and Celtic hopefully can gain from that if they're sold on.
If Neil Lennon had used Darnell Fisher last night, for example, who was on the bench in a fullback role, I was about to say he would have got slaughtered if anything had gone wrong, but he didn't use him. He's still getting slaughtered because something did go wrong.
Yeah. That's right.
So perhaps, as Kenny said, if Ajax can put 19-year-olds in the side, then you know it's Celtic of Darnell Fisher, who looks a good player.
But I mean, there's so many questions to ask about that team selection, and again, there are so many people wanting to ask them. But the one that struck me, I was scribbling some notes on this side of the desk last night, and Jim Duffy was sitting in your seat, Kenny Shields, and he said Scott Brown's up off Pukki. And I thought, well, Jim's not been drinking because he doesn't drink.
Yeah.
So, you know, what was going on there? That took everyone by surprise.
You know, it's like Stuart McCall, Motherwell against Albion Rovers in the Scottish Cup. Why did he start the game without John Sutton and Keith Lasley and finish up losing it 1-0 and you had nothing but hassle off the Motherwell supporters? You know, sometimes managers, they're only human. Sometimes they get it badly wrong.
I think, Jim, that's a valid point, and only Neil can answer that. I feel that Scott Brown certainly needs to play behind the ball, and you know, it's not what I would say suitable to his game. Neil has had his reasons for it, but again, we have to respect that. I mean, whatever decision you make, and we all make mistakes in team selections, and managers will make mistakes, and you're always open to criticism because at every game at Parkhead, there's 50,000 managers there as well as Neil. And, you know, that's something, what you do, you have to be honest with yourself and you make your decisions based on what you anticipate. And that's what Neil did. And Q said he got it wrong. And if he's got it wrong, he's got it wrong. He just move on to the next game.
Peter, thanks very much for your call. 01419511025. We'll speak to Mark in Greenock next.
This is the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Podcast with the Scottish Sun for 7 days of football. Bill Leckie every Monday, the goalie Andy Gorham on Fridays, John Hartson every Saturday, and heart-hitting reaction from Davy Proven and Richard Goff on Sundays. Plus, there's Super Goals, Scotland's best football pullout every Sunday, Monday and Wednesday. Only in the Scottish Sun, official supporter of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen again to Clyde One Super Scoreboard anytime with the Scottish Sun. Search Clyde One Super Scoreboard on iTunes or go to clydeone.com/superscoreboard.
Just gone 25 minutes to 7 here on a Thursday evening. We're back tomorrow night at 6 and Saturday from 2 on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025, the number to get through to Hugh and Kenny and myself, Jim Delahunt. Mark in Greenock, as promised, is on next. Hi, Mark.
Hi, good evening, panel.
Hi, Mark.
Hi there. Thanks, first of all, for taking my call. My point's slightly off the beaten track from what it's been so far tonight, so thanks for giving me my chance to get my point across. My main question is for Kenny, if that's okay.
Yep.
I'm phoning up in regards to the managerial vacancy at Morton, Kenny. And I've got a couple of questions for you in regards to that. First one being, if you can answer, of course, is can you confirm if you have actually applied for the job? And if you can't comment on that, can you confirm if it is a job that would interest you?
I think the one answer would do the two questions, Mark. It's certainly a job that would interest someone like myself who is keen to get back into football. And Morton are a club with great potential, and they've got a lot of good people working there. And it's certainly something that I would be interested in at some stage of my career. And, it's not really the time for me to speak about that job, to be honest. And I'm sure there's people, as a club, Morton are in a position now where they've got a caretaker manager, and we have to respect that.
Of course, yeah.
And it's a private matter to them. I'm sure if they're are they at the interview stage at the moment, I'm sure they are, then they're trying to whittle down to who they feel would be a good appointment, and we don't want to impinge on that.
No, that's great. Obviously, it's good to hear that it's something that would interest you. I know myself and a lot of the other fans would be more than happy to see you come there and do a job. No disrespect to David Hopkins. He's done a great job with the development squad. But I think, as a Morton fan, I'd like to see someone with a bit more experience at that kind of level in managing a club, because that's what we need to. We certainly can't afford this year of all years to get relegated financially by disaster.
Definitely.
Especially with Rangers coming up. You've got the potential of Hearts, maybe Kilmarnock. From a better point of view, I'd love to see St Mirren coming down to get the games on again. But that financially, it would destroy us if we don't manage to stay up this year.
Danny Lennon sends his best.
Yeah, it's good. They're a good club, and it's good to get a call about some of the clubs that's in the domestic scene, and it's a good call. And certainly David Hopkins is a good lad who's working very well in his job, and he's got a good philosophy about the game, and they've a lot of good coaches down at Morton.
Oh yeah, no, I mean Warren Hawk as well, he's doing a great job. It's good to see his
fantastic
getting the youth going again, something that we've definitely clearly lacked for too long.
It's a big thing.
I mean, we've got a couple of young players as well. The boy McNeil up front, he came on last weekend against Dundee and he made a difference, so it's good to see. I think the potential's there, and as I said, if we get the right man, hopefully yourself, it's my personal opinion, I'd love to see you there.
Well, thank you, but it's very important to Morton, because if you've got Dunfermline and Stranraer coming up from the league below, you want to be in the same league as them.
Definitely. I mean, next year, the Championship's got the potential to be an excellent league.
Yeah, definitely, and so. I think that if you could imagine the likes of St Mirren, as you said, and Rangers and Dunfermline or Hearts all in the one league.
Oh, it'd be fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic.
Let's jump in here in St Mirren's defence. there's no chance of St Mirren going down.
They're going to be baying for my blood.
I would remember you said there's no chance of St Mirren going down.
I'd
love to phone you back.
There's no chance of St Mirren going down.
Okay, Mark.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much for answering that, honestly. Thank you, Mark. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the call. Graham's next. Hi, Graham.
Hi, good evening, panel. How are you all?
Good evening, Graham. Fine,
Graham.
Thank you.
I've got a few points, if I could bear with me. The first one being the transfer talk about Lee Wallace going away maybe in January from Rangers.
Well, he's outstanding. He's the best player by far. And it's not out with the bounds of possibility that somebody might take a shine to him, because our own Ian McCall is always saying he looks so out of place where he is, far too good for where he is. So it depends on who will be the Rangers board in January. That's the first thing we need to know.
I want to put forward the point that it wouldn't really bother me with Lee Wallace leaving, because he's one of the ones that's actually stood by the club, and the boy deserves all he's getting through his performances and whatever. I go and watch Rangers all the time, and he's without doubt the standout player nearly every game. Fantastic player. Fitness wise, the lot, touch, excellent, supreme. Next point I could go on to, if I can, would be last night's Celtic game.
Yeah.
How can Neil Lennon come out after the game and say his three best players were defenders when they conceded six goals?
Well, that's up to Neil Lennon.
Exactly.
Because he said...
He has been drinking.
Let's nail that
all
one.
All joking aside, right?
If he said that, then it's one of those things that managers have to also stand or fall by.
Could give pass marks was Lustig, Van Dijk,
Forster.
And there was three defenders.
He said the goalkeeper. He mentioned
the
goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper as well.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Forster.
Three defenders and a goalkeeper.
Well, Lustig had a reasonable game. Van Dijk had a good game. He's playing beside someone who struggles at Champions League level. So it's Neil Lennon's opinion, as was the team that started.
It just baffles me that he can come out and say that he's three best.
Well, whether you're baffled or not, it's not really the issue. The issue is he said it and he has to stand or fall by it.
And see, in his post interview on the match, a reporter asked him something about the Motherwell game, and he still is coming out with the same old Celtic fans are the best in the world, bar none. Did you see the state of our park?
We've discussed it at length, and I've said earlier on in the programme that Celtic's reputation was badly tarnished last Friday. It's cost the club £10,000, which is a ludicrous sum of money, given that the game was won in convincing fashion by Celtic and played well. They played good football at Motherwell.
So it looked as if it needed rebuilt.
Well,
no, it wasn't quite that bad.
Graham, how would you feel if, you're a Rangers supporter, I take it, yes?
Yeah, okay.
How would you feel if Rangers went to Stanish Muir and let's just say a bad section of your support tore up seats? How would you feel towards them?
Stanish
Muir's
gone.
Oh, sorry, bad example. There is actually.
Yeah. There are.
Aye, yes. That's home support.
Yeah, well, let's just say something. They did something.
Just in case.
I know where you're coming from, Kenny. But that's not my point. I'm talking about Celtic manager coming out and still stating that his fans are the best fans in the world when they're going away constantly and following banners, coming out with.
Yeah,
and you would also expect your manager to come out and say exactly the same.
No, I wouldn't. I would expect my manager to come out and say, just stop it outright. You're not the best.
Which is what Neil Lennon has done, and which is what Celtic have done. So you're wide of the mark there, I'm afraid, Graham. Sorry about that. 01419511025. Jamie is next on the line. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, panel. How are you doing?
Hi, Jamie.
Thank you.
Good. I'm just phoning to say I'm an unhappy Celtic supporter, needless to say. But again, I just feel it's the same old with Celtic. They take five steps forward and 18 back when it comes to European football, as far as I'm concerned. But my main point is, although they are cantering the league, as we all know, and that's no disrespect to any other teams, but my main point is, Rangers are going to be back in this league before they know it. And I was just wondering what the panel thought of maybe Celtic, instead of trying to build a better team for European football, build a decent team for the Premier League. Because when Rangers get back in, they're going to be fighting with Celtic again.
Well,
one
leads on to the other. If you improve your team domestically, it stands to reason you've improved them for the European competition as well. Neil Lennon would also answer your question, Jamie, by saying, well, we're undefeated this season. What more can they do in terms of the Premiership? But there's never been any question that Celtic would be strong enough for Rangers when Rangers return. The question is, what can Rangers do to be strong enough for Celtic?
Well, that's true. And I know Celtic's obviously, they have got a decent team, but I personally feel Celtic should still be in all three domestic cups just now as well. And they should still, as far as I'm concerned, they should be in Europa League as well.
One of Neil Lennon's little flaws is that he's susceptible to cup shocks. He started off his career as Celtic's interim manager by losing to Ross County. He lost to Kenny's Kilmarnock in a League Cup final at Hampden. He lost to St Mirren at Hampden. He lost to Hearts at Hampden. Lost to Morton this season at home in the League Cup. An unfathomable result, as far as I'm concerned. So that has been a problem for Neil Lennon. The Cup competitions have not been his strong suit.
Jimmy, can I ask you a question? It's Kenny here.
Hi, how you doing?
Not too bad, Jimmy. How would you feel if they just hadn't made it with the Carrigandy result, and in the trade-off for that they'd beaten Morton and they're in the quest now for the treble domestically? Would that sit better with you and having missed
it? It would, definitely. I mean, without Rangers being in the league, and it's no disrespect to any other teams, I personally think Celtic should be taking all three trophies. They've got a stronger team than most clubs. But when Rangers are obviously there, it's only Celtic and Rangers. And everybody knows that, and it's been that way for years.
What is the consensus of opinion? The top into the last 16 or the last 32 and get two domestic trophies, or to go for the treble and sacrifice Europe? You know, this is where the dilemma that Neil has as a manager.
Personally, I would sacrifice Europe because as a Celtic supporter, last night was an embarrassment. How can you go for last season to beating Barcelona for this season pretty much getting scalped?
Well,
there's a big difference. And they sold three decent players last season. And yes, although they brought in, the players they brought in were nowhere near the same experience as Hooper and Wanyama.
Juventus failed to qualify for the last 16 last night. So, you know, in the Super Scoreboard in Milan just now, are they questioning Juventus in that way? I mean, you can't say you'd sacrifice Europe, Jamie, for one very simple reason. Europe makes Celtic a fortune this season and last season. So you can't just say, no, I'd sacrifice Europe in order to beat Morton.
Well, that's true, I suppose. That's true.
Okay, Jamie, thanks very much for your call. Thank you. We're going to move on. Loads of people trying to get on the programme tonight. 01419511025 is the number. We'll speak to Jim next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with the Scottish Sun, where Davy Proven is frank and fearless every Sunday in Sun Sport.
Frank McGarvey said his say on that Celtic result last night. Let's hear from him.
You're talking about Barcelona on the day. Can beat any team in the world, so it's not any disgrace for Celtic that they've lost with that amount of goals. You know, there was nothing to play for, so you know, for me, it wasn't any disgrace. Overall, in the Champions League, the players that he's had have gave 100% and done all they can. What was lacking with Celtic over the six games was a goal scorer and a playmaker. Everything depends on Commons now at Celtic at the top level, and I've really got to get in January a centre forward and a good midfield playmaker that can cope at that standard. You can't ask any more from the team, and they're just not up to that level. So if they don't invest, you know, for the next few years, they won't do well in the Champions League. It's as simple as that. They sold Wanyama, who scored goals in the Champions League, and they scored Hooper, who was a top goal scorer. These two players weren't replaced, and therefore Celtic went into the Champions League with a weaker team this year. For me, the fans have done everything can. Neil Lennon's done everything he can with that team, and the players have gave 100%.
Frank McGarvey speaking after last night's 6-1 defeat for Celtic in Barcelona. Jim is next on, as promised. Hi, Jim.
Hi, that was Frank McAvaney, not Frank McGarvey.
No, it was Frank McGarvey.
Was it?
Yes, thank you. So carry on.
There you go. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I thought you said McAvaney earlier.
No.
He talked a lot
you
of sense,
said
actually. I talked a lot of sense because I'll lay my cards on the table just now. I'm a Rangers fan and a Scotland international fan. But as far as I can see at the moment, a lot of parallels can be drawn with the Celtic team and its performance over the last year. and the England team and its performance over the last year or so, and its ensuing expectance of the media by them that they may do well one way or the other. I listen to a lot of radio in the car, and when you listen to some of these English stations during the day, when none of you guys are on, I mean, that's why I listen to them. Some of the garbage they talk is beyond belief about the expectancy and how good they are. But as I say, I think the reality is that Celtic overstayed their mark last year. They punched above their weight last year. They did exceptionally well. And as I say, I thought they did better than a lot of folk expected this year. They did more or less what everybody else thought they might do last year. They've come in this year being exactly what a Scottish Premier League team deserves to be in Europe, which is 3 or 4 degrees below what they're entitled to be in terms of Europe. And I think England might end up doing something similar next year by failing miserably when it comes to the World Cup.
Obviously, a side in Celtic's position playing a side like Barcelona, they start with a built-in disadvantage. I mean, Barcelona have better players, playing a better league, and can strengthen. I mean, Neymar's 20 years old, and they paid £45 million for him. So, you know, I don't think there's any shame in Celtic losing to Barcelona. I think there's a shock value, because it was 6. As the score rises, the shock value rises as well. So, yeah, of course, Scottish sides in the Champions League, the prize is getting there. The distinction is getting there. No, Lennon's not daft, and the people who are at Celtic aren't daft. No, nobody thought that they were going to go to the final of the competition.
No, I don't necessarily. I never said that anybody expected to get that far, but I think the distance they've got now is indicative of not necessarily what Celtic are doing, but the standard that Scottish football is doing. I mean, Celtic can pummel every team in the Premier League every week, but at the end of the day, when it comes to stepping up that 2 or 3 degrees, which is required in Europe, it ain't going to happen.
And that's why the board has a decision to make. If they want to guarantee or at least give themselves a better chance of getting into the group stages next season, then they'll have to have a better squad of players than they currently have. And in order to do so, they're going to have to spend some good money.
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever happen. There was a suggestion earlier on there about where the decision is to be made. Do we decide on domestic football or do we decide in Europe? And if the fact that Celtic, I don't know what the situation is now with Scottish football. I mean, is the winner still going to get, in the next couple of years, are they still going to get into the Champions League without having to qualify? Remember, there was a movement of the goalposts last year or something.
Celtic have to play 3, I'm assuming here, that Celtic won the championship. Celtic have to play 3 qualifying rounds next season.
I thought it might have been slightly better next season.
No, I may be wrong.
It should be, to be fair. But it isn't.
Oh, no, I kind of disagree with that, yep. Kenny. it's nice to hear a very structured conversation with you, which sometimes you haven't done with the media in the past, but I'm very pleased to hear the way you've gone on tonight about various things, and congratulate you for that.
I think the big thing for
me... We tried to get Frank McAvaney, but we couldn't get him.
I had an argument with him a couple of weeks ago, and that was another story.
This is Frank McGarvey you're talking to. No.
Regardless.
It's matching the expectations of the ordinary supporter in the street is the difficult thing.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that Celtic see that themselves. And yeah. If I was looking to be critical of anything, I think that this could have been prepared for a little bit sooner, mm-hmm. in terms of building for. And the difficulty that Peter Lawwell has is to get players to match the expectations of his supporters and to compete against the best in Europe, he's going to have to overpay players that doesn't sit right with the domestic scene.
Exactly. He's in a totally no-win situation,
yes.
Exactly. It's a sad situation, and it's an indictment in the whole of Scottish football. Well, not an indictment necessarily, but it's a sad indication of where we are at the moment.
Yeah, well, Dortmund were 8 minutes away from making the 16 as well.
And it was really amazing how things went last night. I mean, who was it that had 12 points?
Napoli. Napoli,
they had 12 points. Didn't they qualify? Rangers qualified a few years ago with 7 points. I mean, it's strange the way things go as far as the that competition is concerned.
Zenit qualified with 6, and I could get my statistics wrong here, but they qualified with 6, Napoli didn't qualify with 12.
Mm. That's right, the old draws make a difference to the whole thing and goal difference. But as I say, I feel kind of sorry for Celtic, I feel sorry for Neil Lennon, there we go, that's the way the situation is. Scottish football is a wee bit in the pits at the moment, and hopefully things will turn. I would like to think wee Gordon Strachan can turn things around, because I think the international team has got a lot to do with actually making, the situation as far as Rangers fans and Celtic fans not being great international fans, that I think could turn around if Gordon Strachan can actually turn the team around the way the thing has been going.
Gordon's doing a great job. It better not do too well, because then your expectations is going to rise, and when he isn't able to match them, he's going to get a lot of...
he'll end up in the English Premier, shall we? I know exactly what you're saying. But anyway, thanks a lot for your time, guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jim. 01419511025. Taking more of your calls all the way up till 8 after the news.
This is the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Podcast with the Scottish Sun for 7 days of football. Bill Leckie every Monday, the goalie Andy Gorham on Fridays, John Hartson every Saturday, and heart-hitting reaction from Davy Provan and Richard Goff on Sundays. Plus, there's Super Goals, Scotland's best football pullout every Sunday, Monday and Wednesday. Only in the Scottish Sun, official supporter of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Text Clyde One Super Scoreboard now, 61025. Start your message with SSB. Text to 25p plus network rate. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with the Scottish Sun.
Just coming up to 3 minutes past seven on a Thursday evening here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Leslie has Clyde One news headlines.
A 10th person's died following the helicopter crash at the Clutha pub in Glasgow. 59-year-old Joe Cusker from Cambuslang passed away at Glasgow Royal Infirmary earlier. He'd been in hospital since the disaster almost 2 weeks ago. Bond Air Services suspended its fleets of the model involved earlier, the EC-135, the replacement Police Scotland helicopter, and one of the two air ambulances in Scotland have since been cleared to fly. A Glasgow Warriors rugby player has appeared in court charged with assaulting another player in Glasgow's West End. 24-year-old Ryan Wilson, who's alleged to have attacked Ali McClay of the Glasgow Hawks on Great Western Road in October, made no clear declaration to two assault charges and was granted bail. 40 firefighters have been tackling a major blaze at a farm in Airdrie. The fire at an outbuilding containing tyres at Easter Dunsiston in Chapel Hall was reported at 2. Fire crews are still at the scene. That's it for now. More updates on Twitter at Radio Clyde News.
Give us a call. 01419511025 is the number. Thomas is in Glasgow. Hi, Thomas.
Hello, John. How you doing?
Hi there, Thomas.
It's more or less just what that boy was saying no long ago there, because sometimes when I listen to people coming on and after results, they keep saying, go to sign this player, go to sign that. And I don't think Celtic will push the boat out, because, see, when you think about it, I mean, you look back to Rangers, that's probably the only team I can recall who were actually as good as the European opposition, you know, as in they could hold the ball. I'm talking about Advocaat's team. All the Dutch players, they were not technically as good. Celtic are nowhere near technically as good as these teams they come up against. They can't hold the ball. And their record in the Champions League, I think it's only one win in 23 years or something like that. It's been gone. It's abysmal. They just cannot do it. They cannot adapt, away games.
It can't be one in 23 years, given that they beat Barcelona last season. They beat Ajax.
Away games, sure.
Well, I'll give you the away games.
They've only ever won once.
Yeah, well, I'll give you...
It's been going since 93.
As I say, I'll give you the away games, if you let me finish, under Neil Lennon. He's played 18 away from home, and he's lost 11. He's only won 4. They were against Helsinki, Helsingborgs, Spartak Moscow, and Cliftonville.
I know, you're not listening to me. The Champions League.
You're not listening to me.
The Champions League games I'm talking about.
Yeah, but you've contradicted yourself about 3 times, so I've just given you some facts, so let's deal with them.
And also...
The tournament, I'm talking about the actual tournament. when the tournament starts.
Yeah, but the point is that you're more or less suggesting, look, we're out of our depth anyway, so let's not bother. That's not how football works. And Celtic make millions and millions of pounds from the Champions League. And if you said to Peter Lawwell tonight, do you fancy just doing without it next season? I'm sure he'd be appalled at the very idea. So in order to make sure that you get there, they're going to have a better squad than the one they currently have.
I know, but see, when you still listen to people, I actually heard Gordon Dale, I think they'll get a result. Milan, I think they'll get a result. And Ajax, they won't. Because they've one game, the Russian team they beat, when they're down to 10 men. That's all it's been, and I'm talking about the actual tournament, no qualifiers.
Well, it would be possible.
They're not good enough.
It would be possible to win all three home games, even if you lost the three away.
I know that.
You qualify.
Performances give you hope, and if you go back to the Milan game, I think that raised people's hope and expectation. Celtic performed really well at Milan, and were unfortunate to lose. Would you agree with that?
Aye, but listen, you've got to take into account that night, Milan were awful and they still won 2-0. So
Thomas,
what does that say about Celtic that night?
Thomas,
they were awful and they still won 2-0.
What exactly are you advocating, Thomas? That Celtic don't bother with this?
No, a reality check where the people keep coming on, sign this player, sign that. Celtic's best team, right, they've probably had in the last 20 years, was when they had Larsson, Sutton, Hartson, and they couldn't win a game away in Europe. They keep coming on, we need to sign this player, we need to sign that.
So you missed the night when they beat Boa Vista to get to the final in Seville?
That was UEFA Cup.
Yeah, it's away in Europe.
I'm talking about the Champions League. The Champions League I'm talking about, Hugh.
Well, Thomas, to me, you're advocating that Celtic give up because it's just too hard.
No, do that. I'm talking about the supporters and a lot of people in the press and the media saying they need to push the boat and do this. They've looked at Rangers when Advocaat was there, and as I say, technically Rangers were on a par with Bayern Munich in these teams when they played away. They were beating Monaco away, PSV Eindhoven away. They were matching these teams. You've got to look at all that. Milan were awful that night in the San Siro and they still won 2-0. But what I'm saying is, it's just people, they've got to say, hold on a minute, getting into the tournament and maybe getting the odd scalp and possibly getting the last 16, that's as good as you can get.
Well, if that is as good as it gets, then that will suit Celtic, because in the process they'll be making millions of pounds.
I know, but this keep thinking better than our and all this attitude, it's honestly a Scottish trait. I know.
How do you think the Marseille supporters are feeling tonight in relation to how they did in the Champions League?
I
think it's a fair comparison.
Kenny, the thing is, like, you know yourself, The cream always comes to the top. It's going to be the English, Spanish, German. I don't even include the Italians in that. You know, they're not good enough to win the European trophy. Germans, English, and
Spanish. The prize is qualification.
Of course it is.
So
of course it is.
Therefore, Celtic will go on trying to qualify. And I'm only going to say this one more time. In order to make sure of qualification next season, they are going to have better players than they currently have.
I know, and they're never technically good enough. I watch all the games.
That's
I watch
the point.
All the time.
That's not the point. You've just agreed with me. Qualification is the prize.
That's what I'm saying as well.
If they're technically good enough to get to the competition, you can worry about the rest of it once you're there and you've cashed the cheque at the bank.
Aye, but don't have this unrealistic, we should be doing this, we should be beating these teams. Shouldn't be beating any of the European teams away.
Well,
in fact, they don't. They won one game.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, it's a difficult task, and I feel that the problems that Celtic have is getting players of that calibre. That calibre is going to be too expensive to accommodate the domestic league.
Rangers tried it with Advocaat, and we had great players. We had technically gifted players, two guys, players like that, and De Boers and all these players, and Arthur Newman, world class players, and we did used to. I mean, PSV, Ibrox, home and away, we're beating them. Monaco, Parma, teams like that, we're getting them right good games. And I was watching the game, and I says, technically we're as good as these teams, but we still weren't good enough to get any. Richard Goff got interviewed and we got beat with Ajax, and we'd a decent team then, we'd Loudrup and Gascoigne and players like that. And Richard Goff said that night, we're no good enough, we're technically no good enough, and that's possibly the one of the best teams.
I'll say this to you, if Rangers were back in Europe now, you'd be thrilled.
And I know that, but I'd be realistic to you.
Well, if people are unrealistic,
which they that
just happens from time to time.
Do you not think the modern day Champions League, in comparison to what it was then, the gap has got so much bigger?
It is, Kenny, but the Italian teams were probably good then. When Rangers played Juventus, that was probably one of the best Juventus teams ever. And the Parma team is a great team, and teams like that. The Italians have been right downhill. Mm. But the English teams, the Germans and the Spanish, it's just between them every year.
The reason why you should be concerned as a Rangers supporter is that Celtic are amassing money. And the one thing Rangers don't have at the moment is money.
And
one of the reasons why...
I wouldn't say that to you.
Which part of it would you not say?
Envious of Celtic earning the money. Listen, talking
about necessity.
Right,
Rangers,
okay. Well,
Rangers
listen,
will need money.
See, when Rangers get back, they're competing against Celtic. That's it, full stop. Forget about Aberdeen, Dundee United and the young players and that. Forget about them. Soon as Rangers get back, they'll be competing against Celtic. And it only would take a season, two seasons, to possibly go on a par with Celtic. Realistically, that's all it would be.
Okay.
Right. Neighbour.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you,
Mark's
Thomas.
Mark's in Aberdeen. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, thanks, Mark.
I tell you what, that Thomas has got a bit of a brass neck, isn't he? You think he would just keep quiet about what Rangers achieved when David Murray was spending a tenner for every fiver that Celtic were spending? Irony of it is now, Fergus goes about telling folk he made a tenner for every fiver that Murray lost. He should just keep quiet about that team.
Anyway, on we go.
Hugh, you've said a couple of things today that I'm not quite clear where you're going with this. You said that Celtic should speculate to accumulate.
Uh-huh. In terms of the Champions League.
Yeah, and then you said, but the teams are playing against are signing players for 45 million. I think you gave Neymar as the example. So, personally, I don't see the point in spending 4 or 5 million pounds to compete against 45 million pound players. It's the same thing as buying a million and a 2 million pound player. Neither of these players are going to be good enough to compete at the Champions League
at any level. I repeat, qualification is the prize.
Well, they're qualifying.
Yeah. But that will not go on indefinitely.
It'll go on for a very long time in terms of...
They've got 3 qualifying rounds to negotiate next season. Are you certain that the squad of players representing Celtic last night will qualify for next season's Champions League group stages?
That won't be the squad of players that we'll be taking in.
And how do you know that?
Eh? Well, it's for sure there's people who are coming to an actual end of their career at... People that I think have been absolutely fabulous for the club, like Samaras, who will move. There's other players who are using many players like Victor Wanyama and so on have done, that are using Celtic as a springboard to better things. There will be a natural change, and as you say, there is money in the bank to facilitate that natural change. So there's no way that the team last night will be the team that's competing to get into the
Champions League.
But the
money will have to be spent on better players than. Better money will need to be spent on better players than Amido Balde, Timo Pukki and Dirk Boerechter.
Yeah, I know, but in the round, if you look at it, you know, for Amido Balde, you could look at Victor Wanyama. Some of them go right, some of them go wrong.
I don't dispute that. I'm just telling you that none of those players will be good enough to get Celtic into the Champions League group stages.
I think the big problem you've got, though, right, and if we're being really honest about this, you attract a Henrik Larsson or a Victor Wanyama, you luck out, okay? Anybody who knows their worth and knows that they're a Champions League standard player of any kind of stature would not come to Scottish football.
Well, that doesn't mean you stop trying. Neil Lennon can't accept that argument, and neither should Peter Lawwell. They have to fill a ground with 60,000 Celtic supporters on Champions League night, and they have to sign...
But they're doing that, aren't they?
Yes, I understand that. But those supporters need to have a degree of belief. And if it's about Balde, Boerechter and Pukki, then they will have no belief. Celtic have to get a better class of player.
Can I ask one more question?
Go, Mark.
Just, I absolutely abhor everything that the Green Brigade did last Friday. And I'm totally behind anybody that says there should be no politics in football. I was a bit stunned last night to see the tribute to Nelson Mandela on the Champions League, because surely that's bringing politics into football.
How's that politics?
Paying tribute to someone who's passed on.
I think he was probably the leading political figure of the 20th century.
Well, I think you're splitting hairs and you're deliberately trying to create an argument where none exists. It was not a political statement. You said he was one of the most prominent, or if not the most prominent politician of the 20th century, then surely his passing should be marked.
Yeah, but he's still a political figure, isn't he? I mean, listen, I didn't agree with the banners that the Green Brigade put up in relation to Bobby Sands or whatever. You know, that's not... To me, there's no place for politics in football. But in some people's eyes, he will be a great political figure. In some people's eyes, including our current Tory leader, Nelson Mandela at one point was not a great political leader. If you have your views on whether you think people are politicians or not, the fact is Mandela was a political figure, the greatest political figure of our time, and he was brought deliberately quite high profile into the Champions League last night.
I think you're going right out of your way to look for an argument where none exists.
As others are. And no. Mark's not the first one to come up with it. Thank you very much. 01419511025.
0141 951 1025. The one, the only football phone-in across Glasgow and the West. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with the Scottish Sun.
Good card coming up on Saturday in the Scottish Premiership. We're with you here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard from 2 o'clock. Aberdeen against St Mirren. Celtic at home to Hibernian. Hearts facing Inverness. Kilmarnock playing Dundee United. Partick Thistle at home to St Johnstone. And Motherwell travelling to Dingwall to take on Ross County. As I say, we're with you from 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Peter's next on the line. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Hugh. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, Peter.
Jim, I was on last night with Martin, with Jim and Daza. Yeah. And I was talking about, obviously, the team that last night.
Yes.
Obviously, in hindsight, I'm wondering, Jim, did Neil try to... I know it's in Sally, it's Barcelona. Did Neil try to go out and match Barcelona last night and hoping that maybe get something? Because that was an embarrassment last night, Jim. I was talking about Celtic last night.
I think if you were trying to match Barcelona, you'd have started the game with Chris Commons, Charlie McGrew and Anthony Stokes in the team, wouldn't you?
Well, Stokes is Disney's eight in Europe, sure, as we know, right? I know Pookie's no set the house on fire.
That's putting it mildly.
Well, if you being honest with you, right, I've been to most of the games at Parkhead this season, but the boy's not getting an actual run out of such, and he's not playing me. He's jumping and changing. He's not either playing him up top with Stokes or our partner. Minnesota Parkhead, Minnesota and domestic, we should be going 4-4. Well, whatever way you are, but to me, you should go with two strikers anyway, at home anyway, unless you're playing in Europe, right? I thought the boy was unlucky on Friday night. He played well against Motherwell and should have had a penalty. I don't know why he got booked. I wouldn't have hooked Pookie last night, guys. I would have hooked the boy Beaton at half-time and put Charlie in. And then I'd have put Charlie at left-back and shoved Adam Matthews out in front of him.
By half-time...
Matthews wasn't again. I know Hugh was done and dusted, right? Yeah. But it's a salvage operation at half-time, 3-0 down. Right.
Well, in that case,
it backfired.
In that case, if it's salvage operation, get Commons and Stokes on, see what you can do.
But Hubert, my biggest gripe is the board. I feel the board have left Neil Lennon out to dry this season. You've not given them the right tools to deal with. Just like yourself, if you're going to win what the Daily Record and the Scottish, who is a notepad and pen, but see your companion across the road, he's got the up to date laptop. You're not going to do the same sort of work as him. Right, Mr. Lawler keeps saying us Celtic fans through his Celtic view and our outlets, if the right player comes along, blue chip signing, the money's there for them. Neil wanted the boy from Borgeson. Why could have not pushed that extra? They'll get bumps in seats this season. I mean, as it stands now, we're partially closing a section of the stadium because we can't fill it.
Well,
it's better that Rangers are out the league and we're in a recession. If you get decent quality players on the park, fans will come back.
Well,
if you're getting entertained in the park, the fans are. I've been at most of the games this season, guys. The fans are waiting for something to happen. There's no getting behind the team. It's only in the Champions League games they're getting behind them. They're waiting for something to happen. And there's nobody. Unfortunately, the last two games have been brilliant domestically. It's the best football I've seen. Minnesota Hearts game, it's the best football I've seen this play for a while. But at home, we're waiting for that wee spark, and it's not happening. Chris Commons isn't playing. There's nothing happening. If Charlie's not playing, there's no need to put a through ball to the strikers. I just wish Peter would then say, because to me, it's the same with Neil. we all know Neil's no the most wealthiest paid manager in Scotland. I mean, we only need to look across the city. Ali earns more than him, and he'd be in the third tier of Scottish football earning more than what the top manager is in Scotland. Baffles me anyway.
In the greater scheme of things, Kenny, would somebody like Finn Bogason have made a difference to Celtic's Champions League campaign? And would somebody like James Vaughan, who they're reputedly looking at, make a significant difference, you know, looking at the game last night and looking at the campaign as a whole so far?
It's hard to put it into games. I think if you put it into the whole six-game programme of the group, then the difference would have been... possibly, yep, they might have got another victory and got into the Europa League. As Neil put it here in today, he said it's a balancing act which is difficult to achieve sometimes, and that's the key. You want to get the right balance and between the domestic football and the European football, and that's a hard ask, and it's a big to get the combination right. I feel that the likes of James Vaughan coming in would... it's along parallels with what Gary Hooper was producing, and certainly over a period of time, James Vaughan would come up to Scotland and score goals regularly, and it would give him confidence. The big problem that Neil has had is that he hasn't really had someone doing that this season. If you take Commons out of it, like Stokesy hasn't been scoring a goal or two and three, which you would expect him to do domestically, and he needed to have someone with that confidence going into games. Going to Barcelona, a goal-scoring striker is not that paramount to getting maybe a 2-1 defeat or a 2-0 defeat at Barcelona. See, but to lose 6-1, you can't really talk about a goal scorer as such.
When Celtic bought John Hartson, Chris Sutton, Alan Thompson, I think the three of them cost roughly £15 or £16 million. When Martin O'Neill was the manager, Dermot Desmond put that money out because Rangers had dominated Scottish football for years. Celtic were fed up with it, got themselves Martin O'Neill as their manager, brought in players of the calibre of Sutton, Hartson and Thompson to add to Moravcik and Henrik Larsson. But they were responding to a situation at home. Now they are so dominant at home and Rangers are in a lower league. You wonder, are they willing to spend, not to win the domestic championship because they'll win it anyway, but to get into Europe? And I think they have to if they want to be sure of getting into the Champions League.
Q, can I ask you, Q? Sorry, what do you feel Peter Lawwell's remit is to Neil as manager? Neil, this is the expectations that I have for this season.
I think that under Neil Lennon, with no Rangers, Celtic should be thinking in terms of a treble and qualification for the Champions League. I know it's a tall order. If you don't make it in the cup competitions, okay. Shocks happen in cup competitions. But I think Peter Lawwell's obligation is to back his manager and to use some of that money that Celtic have been taking in from the Champions League. Celtic are very fond at their annual general meeting of wallowing in self-congratulation when it comes to money. So the manager's now saying, team's not good enough, squad's not good enough in terms of the Champions League. I need help. And at this point, it's now up to Peter Lawwell.
Peter, you want to come back?
Jim, it's just obviously, I agree there with you, like you were saying, because even at the AGM there, even the chairman's basically saying, we want to be there with the big boys, blah, blah, blah. Basically, we've all gone Scottish football, we like to be part of the big boys. Well, you're never going to be part of the big boys if you don't flex your muscle a wee bit. Nobody's asking them to go out and spend ludicrous amounts of money. We know,
the chairman,
myself, it's going to be...
I feel slightly different, Peter. I feel that a good season for Celtic would be two domestic trophies and the last 32 of the Champions League. An exceptional season would be the last 16 of the Champions League.
But last season, Kenny.
Yeah.
Bottom line, Peter, Celtic need the Champions League.
Oh, sure, we know that.
It is what sustains the supporters, the manager, the players, and in order to have some continuity where the Champions League is concerned,
Peter is going to have to get the chequebook out.
Well, I think so here. I mean, it's just unfortunate. I mean, it's a catch-22 situation, obviously, with Rangers not being in there. But I do think it's time he maybe flexes his muscle a wee bit. Either January, he bid players in for the qualifying rounds in the summer, or we get our business done early in the summer rather than waiting like we did there with Pookie chasing him. But I just hope that we don't cut Neil short again, Hugh. And if the fans are going to pay that wee bit extra again in season tickets or Champions League money, I mean, this year for a package of three, it was like £84 or something, or £88, which is fantastic for the three teams you're playing. And we keep hearing these teams aren't as good as what it used to be, like your Ajax and AC Milan. Well, we're not the same team as what we were last season. We're weaker. But it's great to be there, but you don't want to get embarrassed the way we did last night. I can accept getting beat after Barcelona, isn't it? No, I've not got any qualms about that. But it's a manner that we get beat.
Barcelona beat Real Madrid 5-0 last season. Now, what did Real Madrid do? They've got more money than Celtic will ever have. So big results happen, and there's a vast gulf in class between Celtic and Barcelona, and last night it showed through. It's what Celtic do now in terms of getting into the Champions League.
I just hope it doesn't damage a few of the players who that result last night, like the Pookie and the unbelievable.
Well, if you are damaged, you're not up to it. You need strength of character to play for Celtic in the first place and to play in the Champions League. So if you wilt after something like that, you didn't have the character anyway.
Neil Lennon openly questioned some of the players' character after that game last night in the mix zone, Kenny. What about the caller's point? Could it damage some of the players, the actual experience last night, and their character's been called into question by the manager?
Well, he's trying to give them a kick, isn't he? And you're all over the place after a heavy defeat. You ask any manager who's just been beaten 6 and your emotions are awry, and you're thinking about what you can do and what you should have done. Neil will go home and question himself all over. That's the sort of person he is. All managers, I'm not mean all managers, but we all go home and question ourselves after a heavy defeat. We take the responsibility, and you'll say things in the heat of the moment. I'm think there's some of the things that Neil said he'll probably regret today. But he said them, and let's see what the response is, and he'll get on with it and prepare for the next game.
01419511025. Many thanks to Peter. We'll speak to Sean next.
This is the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Podcast with the Scottish Sun for 7 days of football. Bill Leckie every Monday, the goalie Andy Gorham on Fridays, John Hartson every Saturday, and heart-hitting reaction from Davy Provan and Richard Goff on Sundays. Plus, there's Super Goals, Scotland's best football pullout every Sunday, Monday and Wednesday. Only in the Scottish Sun, official supporter of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Call the only football phone-in for Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Get involved with the Scottish Sun. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Sean's in Hamilton. Hi, Sean.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Fine, thank
Good.
You, Sean.
Sean.
Good. Just got a quick question before I actually make my point, and it's for Kenny, if that's all right.
He's listening.
Yep.
Kenny, in work today, I've got one of my good mates in work who's a Morton fan, and he's been hearing wee tips and rumours that you might be taking over at Morton for towards the end of the season. Is there any truth in that, or are you keeping it up sealed?
I think it's wrong to speculate at this time in what Morton are trying to do, and you know they're striving to bring in a new manager. Morton, and there's a previous caller has asked me the same question. I think what they're going to do in their selection process is quite private, and we have to respect that. And certainly they're a club with a tremendous tradition, and they're a club that I would like to see pushing back towards the SPL if that was possible. Whether I'll be part of that remains to be seen, but I'm sure that they'll make the right appointment in due course.
Okay, cool. Cheers. My main point really was just about Neil Lennon. Basically, I've obviously been talking to a couple of Celtic fans. I know today I'm a Celtic fan myself. It's just about, you know, whether or not he's a big guy to take us forward. Now, I know a lot of people will be having Snapchat reactions or snapback reactions with the result from last night, but a couple of people have been saying from now that, you know, Lennon should be, you know, maybe call it at the end of the season because he can't take us any further. But the only thing I'm thinking is, if it was to call it at the end of the season, who would we get and who would want to come up here?
Well, yeah, I would never discuss who the manager of a club should be. Well, that club has a manager in place. But also, in terms of Neil Lennon, where he takes Celtic, he's taken them into the Champions League for the last two seasons. That is the holy grail for Celtic. So for as long as he can continue to take them into the Champions League, I believe his job is rock solid. The only way I would see Neil Lennon leaving Celtic Park would be, number one, if he failed to win the league when Rangers weren't there, which I would take it to be an automatic sacking offence. Number two, if Neil Lennon himself thought, I've been in Glasgow since 2000, I feel like a change, and discussed it with Peter Lawwell and decided that he wanted to go of his own volition. But no Celtic manager is going to take Celtic beyond where Neil Lennon has taken them into the last 16 of the Champions League. That, for me, has to be the ceiling.
Might Neil Lennon then, Kenny, be thinking, I now have to think when I get out of this club on my terms?
Certainly. If you look at your life, everybody looks at their own life and they look at... The thing that keeps us all going is the challenge. And Neil will be addressing that in his head and thinking, well, I've done this and this. I've won practically everything I can as a player and now a manager of Celtic. When that challenge stops being a challenge, that'll be time for Neil to think, I want to go to a fresh challenge. And it's only natural that he'll do that. And it's the same as any other person. And it's only human nature that you'll look for challenges to give you that fix that you all need, that everybody needs. Everybody needs that fix of the challenge. Can we win the league? If they haven't done that, then certainly. But they're winning the league year in, year out. The one thing that will stimulate or provoke that challenge will be the return of Glasgow Rangers. I'm sure that will be one thing that would keep Neil here to strive to be better than Rangers in the same league, in the same domestic situation. And, you know, it would be great if Rangers could get through and Rangers play Celtic this season. The person who will draw the most satisfaction from that will be the manager of Celtic, I'm sure.
Very interesting. Sean, thank you very much for your call. Not too many Rangers calls tonight. There might be a few more tomorrow, Hugh, because we hear that the Easdale camp may be breaking their silence tomorrow, making a few statements, doing a few interviews. So that should be very interesting.
Well, less than a week to go until the AGM. And the Easdales appear to be assuming a position of power within the club and look to be favourites to hold sway when the AGM takes place. So breaking cover, as it were, when they said they wouldn't, I think it's a significant move.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. You'll hear all about it on this programme tomorrow night at 6, of course. Ian's next in Bears Den. Hi, Ian.
Hi, how you doing, panel?
Fine,
you all
thank
right?
You, Ian. Fine, yeah. Thank you.
Right, well, I'm a Rangers supporter, so there you go. That balances things up just a little bit for you. Right, it's all very well saying buy this player and buy that player. You need multi-million players for this, etc. But what decent player is going to come and play in Scotland? You're not going to get more than a £2 or 3 million player, given the state that Scottish football's in and with no challenge at the moment.
But that's not the point. You have to try. You have to strive to bring the best you can. And you cannot assume that they will automatically turn you down because it's Scotland.
I think you can, Hugh. I mean, there's no way in this earth that any player worth £10-15 million is going to come and play for, let's assume, Celtic, because they're not going to come and play for, with all due respect, to the Ross Counties and Motherwells. And if there's no challenge for them and they're worth that money, they're going to get a club where their profile is going to be a lot higher and a lot better.
Well, that's your view, you're entitled to it, but as I say, Neil Lennon can't sit in his hands and assume that there's no point in trying to get a decent calibre of player because we happen to live in Scotland. I never thought that I would see Brian Laudrup play in Scotland. I didn't.
Yeah, but there was a challenge then.
Yeah, and there will be a challenge from Rangers coming along the road. So you're
not going to get it for another 2 years?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying the exact opposite. I'm saying that Celtic should be striving now to get the best players they can with a view to qualification for the Champions League. Rangers will take care of themselves when they get here. But Neil Lennon can't just sit there and say, well, we'll have to go with what we have because no one will come to this country.
But I think he will have to go with what he's got because no one is going to come. I mean, they're going to watch that game last night. Now, you've said there's no shame in losing to Barcelona, and you're right, there's not. Many teams have done it. You've said that Barca beat Real Madrid 5-0.
Uh-huh.
But you've got to remember, that was Barcelona's first team, not the reserve side. Last night, Barcelona had no Messi, no Iniesta, Fabregas, no Jordi Alba, no Puyol, no Dani Alves, no Victor Valdez.
Yeah, I fully understand that.
I mean,
in
the 141-year history of Rangers, they've never been embarrassed that way.
Well, that's another topic altogether. You asked about players, and I'm saying Neil Lennon can't just sit there on his hands and accept that no one will come here. He's got to try.
But is it not going to be more embarrassing for him to say, oh, I tried to get this player for 8 million, I tried to get him for 10 million, I tried to get him for
Celtic,
6 million,
Celtic
and they're not going to go?
Celtic won't.
You guys in the media would have a field day on that.
No, you'd compliment Celtic for trying their level best.
But they're not going to, they don't need to do it to win the Scottish League.
I've answered this so many times tonight, I'm beginning to think that deafness is a problem in Scotland. It's not about winning the Premiership, it is about qualification for the tournament which pays Celtic millions and millions of pounds.
So Neil Lennon's going to go to a player, he said, come to Celtic, you'll get X amount of money, you won't have any meaningful games every week, but we might get into the Champions League. Is that the way you're going to try and sell that to a player? Any player worth his salt's not going to say that. And if it was Rangers in the same position, I would be saying the same.
Well,
they're not going to do it.
Well, in your estimation?
I mean, Scottish football is in a mess. It is in a mess due to the Rangers getting put down to the third division or whatever it is. It is in a mess.
Uh-huh.
And I cannot see Celtic buying players at £8 or £9 million is going to sort that mess
out.
They
will not go that high, but they have
to. You're just saying they need to get through into Europe.
Yeah, but you keep coming up with the figures. I'm not mentioning figures. I'm saying they have to go higher than they have done for the £2 and £3 million that they're paying. They have to go higher than that and get a better calibre of player.
£4 or £5 million?
If you like, if you must have a figure put on it.
Players at that value are not going to come.
In your estimation, there's always an exception to the rule.
Well, if we speak about this the same time next year, Celtic will not have a £5 million player in their team.
I look forward to your call.
Tell me, how long has Super Scoreboard been going anyway?
Oh, 40 years.
Yeah, 40 years. And they started off as Scottish Holdings, is that right? Scottish Radio Holdings.
There's a
fly one coming
who
here.
Yeah. Who don't exist anymore.
I see.
Yeah, where's this going?
So, they get sold to EMAP. EMAP.
Oh, yeah, a student, right enough.
Sold them on to Bayer.
Do you realise how
don't exist anymore?
Do you realise how infantile you sound?
Doesn't matter. I've had my say, and I'm glad you've agreed with me. And I'll speak to you in a year, and we'll talk about.
So you don't mind? You don't mind being called infantile?
Not at all. No.
Right.
Not at
that's
all.
A good thing.
Hey, it's better to get infantile than grumpy and old.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I am the grumpy and old bit. I take it.
I never said that. Right. Cheers.
Counting down the days to your call, Ian.
Oh, yes.
Thank you very much indeed.
He's David made the winter seem shorter.
David in Cambuslang, who's a regular correspondent, he has emailed, going back to Rangers, which we spoke about 2 minutes ago, he has emailed Brian Stockbridge, the finance director, asking one or two questions, one of which was, are the current board planning to advise the fans before the AGM, which of course is a week today, Hugh?
Yeah.
How they're going to raise enough cash to get us back to the top in the next 2 years. If not, why not? He tells me tonight he has had a reply from Brian Stockbridge, who says that the board, under the leadership of Graham Wallace, will have some interaction with supporters in the run-up to the AGM. So not long to go before the AGM, so very interesting to see if that takes
place, but David clearly happy that Ryan Stockbridge has replied to him positively. 01419511025 is the number to call, and we'll take more of your calls in the final part of the show after these.
Listen again to Clyde One Super Scoreboard anytime with the Scottish Sun. Search Clyde One Super Scoreboard on iTunes or go to clydeone.com/superscoreboard.
Let's squeeze some calls in before we go. Andy's in Knightswood in Glasgow. Hi, Andy.
How you doing?
Andy. Fine, thank you, Andy.
Hi, Hugh, Kenny, Jim.
All right, Andy, yeah.
The point I've got is just, I'm sorry about the timing of it. It's not come on and got on to Neil Lennon, but for a few months, probably the full season, I really believe that I don't think Neil Lennon will have it. He's an honest enough guy. I don't think he's got the appetite to take Celtic forward to the next level. And I don't disrespect his experience and the good things, positive things achieved. I really, and it's based on a lot of things. I think the board, chief executive, and the management team, as in the full management team, including the manager, have shortchanged the fans, not just in a kind of Champions League level, domestically as well. People have sat at Celtic Park with my grandkids watching games, which are poor quality in terms of the progress, nothing against the opposition. Celtic fans are looking for honest progress. And that team, with a strategy for buying players who have got potential and the past has worked and they've made profit from it and it's been positive, it's failed. It's failed in terms of three areas: player development, buying in potential and selling on for profit. That has failed with some of the signings, four or five signings this year. And also proven, where they've failed miserably is bringing in proven experience to a team, to add to a team. Quality you can rely on to take Celtic to a next level. And I'm not talking about winning Champions League, I'm talking about progress.
They've made bad mistakes, and several of them, in the transfer market, but that's not the same as saying Neil Lennon lacks desire. And what is the next level for Celtic? Because for me, qualification for the Champions League is the level, and if they get out of the group stages, it's a minor miracle.
What I would say to you is the next stage for Celtic, in terms of the if you look at kind of analysing the performance of the team over the year and their experience in Europe this year, can that team progress? It relies on risk for players to settle in. But what I would say is, if any honest football person would tell you that Celtic team needs major surgery. And Neil Lennon's got a real sense of loyalty to a lot of these guys he's stood by for many years. And I think it's that loyalty that's going to cost them.
Well,
I believe that he'll know, he's not got the appetite, I believe, to clear out. You could easily talk about six first-team players that would probably have to go out the door and they'll get complicated contracts. And also two players that will probably lose the market in terms of buying with a goalkeeper in the centre-half. That's major surgery. And I don't think Neil, and sitting in front of a mirror, has got the appetite to be rebuilding that team.
Andy, can I just say something? Would you have said the same after leaving Tynecastle 12 days ago or whatever it is?
Kenny, this is the knee-jerk. End of the. It's unfortunate the timing that I've come on off the back of a bizarre kind of run of results, like great performances domestically, and then people have argued embarrassing performance.
Can I just let me elaborate just a little bit on the situation, because there's been a lot of phone calls tonight about trying to purchase the right player that accommodates the domestic programme and the European programme. And what we have to do, I feel, is take a step back and look at comparisons. I'm sure the phone-ins and Radio Copenhagen tonight are asking questions as to why Copenhagen won one out of their six. And in Romania, Steaua Bucharest didn't get any ones out of six. Marseille didn't get any victories in their six games. Austria Vienna got one out of six. Porto got one out of six. Juventus got one out of six. You know, Juventus is the only one of those clubs that can afford this £10 million player, if we're honest.
Yeah, Kenny, people talk about in football about being a result business. Celtic have regressed as a team, and that's across the whole management board, chief executive. The aspirations haven't they met with the fans. The fans see that they're honest, that they're football people that see that the product isn't good enough. And has it reached...
One thing I do disagree with is that you said that he hasn't been able to bring in players with sell-on potential. I think he's sold remarkably well in with Van Wanyama and with Hooper, and he's brought in a lot of good money for that.
I think that historically, I think a year, 2 years ago in seasons have served Celtic well, Kenny, but they have got it badly wrong in the last year or 2 years with the stock of players we've brought in. That, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful, but I think we've went wrong and it's no paid off, and we need to put our hands up and say there's a clear out, and it's a difficult task for a new managing team to come in because they've got contracts and people will move on. That's why it's become a real dilemma for Celtic.
Yeah, they've got Mobile Gura coming back.
The board are going to be faced with a real dilemma in January. And a real honest discussion with Neil Lennon, will they be able to entrust, given them the money to buy players, that he'll be seen through to develop?
Well, if there's no trust between the board and Neil Lennon, it'd be as well going.
Andy, thanks very much. Just squeeze a quick point from Ian before we go. Hi, Ian.
Hi, panel.
Hi, Ian.
Just regarding Brian Stockbridge, why should a financial manager award himself £200,000 for winning the league? That should only go to the players and the management. So he shouldn't only hand back his bonus, he should be sacked for incompetence because we're hemorrhaging money right, left and centre.
Well, Ian, whatever the rights and wrongs of it, we are led to believe that he will be handing the money back if he hasn't done already, and no doubt that's been the subject of further debate. But I appreciate your point. Thank you very much. Ian was our final caller tonight. Thank you very much indeed to everybody who managed to get through on the programme. Many thanks to Hugh and to Kenny Shields, who are taking your calls this evening. I'll be back tomorrow night at 6 with Gordon Dalziel and Mark Guidi, looking ahead to a big weekend of domestic football. Thanks very much to the boys from Mearns High who said hello to me today. I hope they enjoyed their football tonight. And thanks most of all to all of you for listening as ever, night night.